Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. After UK Britpop group Blur broke up, their party hard bass player Alex James moved to the country to make cheese. Of course, this is just one more example of pop culture going mad for food. Cooking shows have returned to primetime on TV and food blogs are everywhere. We too have a muso turned foodie, Ben King, previously of Golden Horse. You Sunday visited Ben King to share both his passions.
Iron Chef Vitaly.
America.
Iron Chef Mario Vitaly continues to just do his good work here at Kitchen Stadium.
Britain.
All you kids at home think they come straight. Look at that for a carrot. That is unbelievable.
It's going to take us 20 minutes to wash all this.
New Zealand.
Somebody that can taste food in their head.
Yep, it seems cooking is the new rock and roll. Just ask Ross Burden.
Well, it's become the new rock and roll, really, hasn't it?
Someone straddling both creative endeavours is Ben King, one-time writer, guitarist and vocalist in Golden Horse, now enjoying experimenting in the kitchen and putting it online.
Golden Horse was known by some people as the food band.
Do you mean for what, food snob band? Or?
Oh, just that's all we ever talked about. You know, get off stage, first thing you talk about is what can we have for dinner? Or how do you cook this, how do you cook that? I think a few bands like that, the older you get too. People become more interested in food. When you're young, you just want to be skinny and wasted. You know? I was about 18 when I was at university. I found that I met a lot of people who had particular things that they wouldn't eat, like fruit, for example. I decided that from that moment, I would eat anything. I wouldn't be fussy about food. I mean, not gung-ho, but just that I'd be deliberately open-minded about food. And it worked, really, because it just meant that I would try things. And actually, quite often, those things that I really didn't like at first ended up becoming my favourites. Coriander,
right,
for example, something like that.
Really, or the controversial herb.
The controversial herb.
The polarising of herbs.
Yeah, I love that herb.
Just the food itself, as in, you know, you pick up an apple and you eat it, is it kind of what you do with it? That you know, because you're a musician and you take, you know, you're creative, and it's that kind of thing which I wonder if is the appeal.
There's a certain kind of magic in putting mundane things together and having them turn out more than the sum of its parts, you know. I find food particularly cool like that because it's a sort of science, everyday science. You know, you don't necessarily have to have a knowledge of science, but but you can see it in action.
Men on horses coming tonight. They'll take me prisoners under the moonlight.
In bands, you're expected to have a blog on MySpace.
Right.
And always have your MySpace going. And record companies expect it. It's just another thing you're expected to do. And most musicians have very little interest in that, I think, and they mostly just want to do the thing that they're doing. And also there's this feeling that nobody would ever read them, so he had this idea it ended up being musicians together all on one website and make a blog out of that. And we did that, it was called The Wire, and we did that for about 2.5 years. And it was really through that I found that I wasn't very interested in writing about music, but I'd write about food, and I ended up just writing everything about food, putting up the cool places I'd been for lunch, and then recipes, and I got really into posting these recipes and taking photos of the food and got sort of obsessed by it.
That's about the time I noticed Ben's food blog. Now, there's no shortage of food bloggers, but as a bit of a foodie myself, it was the sharing food experiences vibe, rather than a you should do this vibe, that kept me going back. And local references like shops you've driven past or brands you're familiar with help too.
What actually is this that you're making?
I'm making meatballs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, with lamb mince.
Right. Now, what are these herbs that you're using? Staples, cumin, coriander, is it?
I'm actually putting in mostly cinnamon and allspice.
Wow.
Which are a really nice combo, and some cumin. But oh, that's cloves, I'll put a bit of that into. But I can't seem to find the cinnamon.
Do you actively try and have quite a unique style in terms of what you do online, or are you happy just to be just another guy doing your own thing on your bit of the net?
No, I do want to come across a little bit unique. I mean, I guess I want to offer something that other people aren't offering a lot. And it was interesting going through the process of the Wire, and I learned a lot about how the internet works and how websites appeal to people and how it's the content that's important, and simplicity is really important. So it's to make it usable and all those things that hadn't ever occurred to me before. So now I mean the design of Never Too Full to Eat is a lot of images, not too many words, and I just change it pretty regularly, so there's something new on there.
So I just noticed that you'd listed the ingredients. It's like you chopped off the second half of the recipe.
Yeah. I don't really use recipes, and I must say I've been kind of lying to whoever's been reading my website in the past, my blogs in the past, because I don't really use recipes. I take these pictures of things and then think, well, I better justify this with a recipe and kind of make one up off the top of my head based on how I do it. But I got a bit embarrassed one day when a friend said that they actually cooked one of the recipes I made, and it wasn't exactly how it looked. And it's quite surprised it turned out like anything at all, because it wasn't for real.
When going to interview a musician at their house, I'm used to getting the studio tour, seeing their prized electric gadget from the 70s they found on eBay. At Ben's, he showed me his outdoor kitchen and collection of vintage catering equipment.
Well, in the laundry here, I've got to show you that. It's my Hobart cake mixer. They started making that model in 1914, and it still works.
Wow. So what, do you actually use it in cooking?
Yeah, I do. It's really powerful. You just got to keep it oiled.
It's reminiscent of those old sort of 60s and 70s milkshake machines with the three things. It's really heavy looking.
Yeah. It was like $300 or something, and the lady said to me, yeah, it'd be great, and you could keep some lemons in it. Something like, I wasn't going to use it, even though it had been prepared to be used. She still thought I was going to store lemons in it.
Sort of the interest in kind of classic cooking implements and machines and that kind of stuff, where did that come from?
My dad's got a workshop, and he's got lots of old tools. He's a pathologist, and he sort of bought some ex-pathology tools home and made use of them. So we've got a sort of a bandsaw. He's got a bandsaw of shady history. And
well, he used to cut up people.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
What did he make bird cages out of now?
He makes cots in it at the moment. But so there's that stuff lying around and stuff he inherited from my grandfather. And so I do have that love for simple mechanical things.
There's a charcoal barbecue there, the Weber sort of style. Are you say no to gas, that kind of purist? Or?
Oh, no. Gas can be good, but I do prefer, the wood smoke is just such an amazing thing. Actually, before I build the pizza oven, I want to build a cold smoker, trying to collect fruit wood from everybody I know has orchards and things like that, because fruit wood makes really great smoking wood. That bag just beneath you is a big bag of plum tree wood, and I'll dry it out a bit and put it through my dad's chipper.
That's not a pathologist chipper.
No, that one wasn't a pathologist chipper.
They say that chefs are the new rock stars. As someone with an interest in both those areas, which would you prefer to be?
I don't think I'd want to be a chef. I think it'd be a really hard job, but I'm not sure if I'd want to be a rock star either, because that would be a really hard job. I don't like hard jobs.
But he has been working hard, making an album called Faintheartedness, under the name Grand Rapids. For someone who doesn't care for labels or the business, he can sure write a hit or three. And on this album, he has input from others such as ex-Golden Horse bandmate Jeff Maddock.
It became so disenchanted with record labels and all the rubbish you have to go through and rubbish, and you know, people might criticise that and say, hey, they're the things, you know, that's the business, you've got to make it on, but I'm not really interested in the business. If you want to make a great record, you don't really need to know anything about the business, and that's what I wanted to do, make a great record. I feel caught, soft place, the rock. I'd do anything to get out, leave you, hurt you, say things that I don't mean. I've always had a soft spot for 80s music. Was it like that for you? I guess it's the music that I first became aware of and first found sort of exciting. And you know, the last few years have been a massive 80s rehash, and most of it I feel really uncomfortable about. Some of it I like, and I mean, I never wanted to make a kind of an 80s pastiche record, and I hopefully haven't. Which is interesting. I never would have done that 5 years ago. So a lot of that is just me being affected by the times, I think.
He's certainly been affected by the internet, making good use of it for both his music and love of food. You can see for yourself at thegreatgrandrapids.com and nevertoofulltoeat.com. And that's Hugh Sunday with that report, and that wraps up the show. If there's something you'd like to hear again, pop along to our podcast, publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Damien Christie.
And I've been Russell Brown. Thank you to New Zealand On Air.